From Redeemer Broadcasting, this is Holding All Things Together for the second weekend in October. I'm Dan Elmendorf.
And I'm Calvin Carter. What's one big difference between Christianity and other world religions? Well, a very big one is the idea that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. By contrast, the non-Christian world tells us to do, 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 a never-ending stream of works, lifting ourselves up by our own bootstraps, as it were. But God tells us that our salvation work is already accomplished in Christ. We simply trust him, resting fully on Christ for his salvation and for his Holy Spirit's enabling and sanctifying power. We live to glorify and enjoy him, pleasing him as redeemed people. This is especially important to learn at a young age. There is a book by the title, Call to Action, Become the Man God Designed You to Be. Within this book is the idea of God's grace in Jesus Christ, and his empowering within the redemption that has been accomplished. God lovingly gives us his Holy Spirit to enable us to glorify him. It's within this relationship that we are called to basic training as we pursue godly character and godly manhood. In Call to Action, Alan Ebenezer calls young men to stop being passive and instead to pursue godly character. In 30 chapters, he provides practical steps for pursuing godly manhood. Today we talk with the book's author, who is a head teacher, Mr. Alan Ebenezer.
Ask for help. I think the bravest word a boy can say is help, help me. And so the boys are encouraged to pray, to read, to think, to survey, to be, to behold, but they're also encouraged to ask. Ask the Lord Jesus to help you. Go to him when you've messed up. Press on. So it's not just about a list of do, 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 do. You know, I think the big difference between the Christian faith and all other world faiths is that all other faiths say do, 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 do. Christianity says done, done. You know, trust in a finished work.
Also ahead, Pastor Bill Shisco continues discussing the fifth commandment, which is honor your father and your mother. And this week, Pastor Bill reflects on what is forbidden in this commandment. Later in the program, writer Jerry Wiss notes that Monday will mark Columbus Day, a day traditionally of parades and national commemoration of the explorers' discovery of the Americas, which so many now call home. Jerry considers some of the historical facts surrounding Christopher Columbus's discovery of the New World. Finally, we'll take another look at this week in history. All this just ahead on Holding All Things Together.
We're in the Westminster Shorter Catechism, Form of Sound Doctrine, which you can get by requesting it from Redeemer Broadcasting. Very helpful teaching device for you. And we're in the Ten Commandments. Remember, they're not a ladder. They're road signs for those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're road signs on the way to a happy life. And they're also, of course, an evidence, obeying them, of our true trust in Christ. So we come to the fifth commandment, which is honor your father and your mother. And what's required in the fifth commandment? It's preserving the honor and performing the duties belonging to everyone in their several places and relations as superiors, inferiors, or equals. That we dealt with last week. What's forbidden in the fifth commandment? Well, the neglecting of or doing anything against the honor and duty which belongs to everyone in their several places and relations. Now, that word honor in the fifth commandment has a real range of meaning. It can mean respect, even reverence for, as we treat our parents. But it also can even refer to financial provision. The elders of the church are worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and teaching. And it's very interesting that Jesus uses this use of the word honor in Matthew 15, 4 through 6, where he quotes the commandment, honor your father and your mother, and the one who is the one who curses father or mother, let him die the death, Jesus said. But you say, speaking to the Pharisees, and I'll paraphrase here, yes, but what I have is a gift. What might be given to my parents is better given to the temple. Jesus says, when you say that, you've made the commandment to honor your father and your mother of none effect by your tradition. What an interesting statement. Basically, this says this. Along with honoring parents as children in the home, we're to express piety by care for our parents. That's what Paul means in 1 Timothy 5:8. If anyone doesn't provide for his own, he's speaking of parents, then he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And that has ranges, helping your parents at home, helping your parents if they need to be in your home, or in some cases, even if a nursing home is necessary or special home for medical care. But the point is, show honor to your parents. The way other cultures often view us, we view us as very neglectful of parents. Honor your father and your mother, and God will bless you. That's question number 66. We'll get to that next week.
On the phone line with us today is Alan Ebenezer. And Alan, I believe you've written a book, Call to Action, Become the Man God Designed You to Be. And Alan, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's nice to be with you.
Yeah. Right away, the listeners are going to say, wait a minute, he doesn't sound like he's in America. So where are you from, Alan?
Originally, I'm from a town called Ebervale, which is in Wales, which is in the UK. I've been in London for many years, and I've literally just moved back to Ebervale about a year or so ago.
Oh, that's neat. That explains the accent for our listeners. I came across your name as a result of a mailing from Reformation Heritage Books. You've written this book, Call to Action. Can you tell us what your book is about, please?
Yeah, so originally it was going to be called Action Men. And the idea is it's a short book. It's aimed at, I guess, teenage boys and boys in their early 20s. It's got 30 chapters. Each chapter is an action. And the intention is that young men read this book and they act on the different chapters. So the first chapter, for example, is be a man. The second chapter is behold the man, behold the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's other actions then called pray, read, think. So it's kind of 30 chapters. The intention is you read it one a day for a month, and then you act on what you're reading.
That sounds very practical. It kind of reminds me of coming across the book of James in the Bible.
Yeah. I think I'm sure it's the same in America. You know, I think that being a man is really kind of in the melting pot at the moment. And what should a 21st century man be like? And so this book is intended for young men to read this book and to know what a Christian young man is and the actions they need to take. You know, it's not passive. You have to act. You have to do things. So that's, I guess, the premises for the book.
Right. I really like the idea of acting out our faith. Not that I do it perfectly. I fail constantly. But my basic frame of mind is that we must act out our faith. To do this requires a good deal of Christian discipline, I think. Any comments about that?
Yeah, and I think what's important to say is that, you know, and I say this in the kind of preface to the book, really, that all the things that I am telling young men to do, I haven't always done myself.
Yeah.
And so some of those actions are go. or ask. Ask for help. I think the bravest word a boy can say is help. Help me. And so the boys are encouraged to pray, to read, to think, to survey, to be, to behold. But they're also encouraged to ask. Ask the Lord Jesus to help you. Go to him when you've messed up. Press on. So it's not just about a list of do, 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 do. You know, I think the big difference between the Christian faith and all other world faiths is that all other faiths say do, 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 do. Christianity right. says done, done. You know, trust in a finished work. But to show that I'm trusting, I'm living out my faith.
Yes.
But to do that, I need help.
Yes. In other words, our obedience doesn't take away the fact that Christ has saved us by his grace, using our faith, and it's not at all works-based, but God wants us to do good works to show our response to him, our love to him. Today, we're talking with Alan Ebenezer. Am I saying those names correctly?
You're saying them perfectly. You're saying them better than any Welshman I know. Well done.
Tell us a little bit more about yourself. You work in a school, and you don't take any baloney. I mean, the kids respect you, and it seems like you're doing a good job. I'm just looking from remote here. Tell us about yourself.
So I'm a head teacher. I've been a teacher for 28 years. I've obviously worked with young people in a school context, in a church context, for about 28 years now. I've been a head teacher for about 15 years. I speak a lot. I've got two new books recently come out. One is just called People Just Like Us, based on 15 Bible characters. And the other one is a shorter book called The Great Escape, which is very evangelistic. So, yeah, I write a lot. I speak a lot. I'm a school leader. For me, I think I love the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm a very kind of broken sinner. But, you know, there's that great verse of the Bible, isn't there? Who, you know, whoever's been loved much, whoever's been forgiven much, loved yes. much in return. So that would be my testimony, really. I love him. He gave himself for me. I love him. I let him down all the time. I'm such a poor reflection of the things I encourage other people to do, but he's gracious and kind. And so as all that, like the Apostle Paul says in Romans, all that in me is, I'll give it all I've got to publish The Sinner's Friend.
That's right. Well, I found out about you, like I said, through Reformation Heritage Books, and they carry your book, Call to Action, Become the Man God Designed You to Be. I haven't even gotten the book yet, but I'd like to have it, and I would encourage our listeners to look this up. And I think it's available on Amazon also, Call to Action, Become the Man God Designed You to Be. What about when there's pushback? You know you're doing the right thing, Alan. And it's hard, and then the very people you're trying to serve ends up pushing back, and it can be very discouraging. How do you handle that, Alan?
I think that, you know, when I became a school leader many, many years ago, the head teacher there was called Bethan Guilfoyle. She's one of my heroes, and she said, just do the right thing in the kindest possible way. Just do the right thing.
Yes.
And so that's what I've tried to do. And I think that you also... I think it was Sinclair Ferguson said this, you know, you've got an audience of one, which is Almighty God.
Mm.
So just do things for him. And some people will like it, some people will hate it, but you've just got to bed every night thinking I've done the right thing. And so I think that's what motivates me, is just trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess, I love sport, I'm a sportsman. It's controlling the controllables. You know,
right.
There's things you can't control. You can't control what other people say, what other people think. You can't control that. So you just control the controllables.
Yes. Well, you've got a lot of experience as an educator of young people. In the last 2 minutes remaining, what about that young person out there that has been struggling? They haven't always been obedient to their parents. Maybe they haven't even come to Christ yet. Any words of encouragement for the young person who's groping, but he kind of wants to do right?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you've just described describes all of us. I think we're all pretty broken. I think some people can hide it better than others. different types of brokenness, but at heart, we're all broken. And I would encourage all broken people to take a broke, you know, I mean, I don't know what America's like. In the UK, we live in very much a cancel culture. You do one thing wrong, you're canceled.
Yeah.
I love the Lord Jesus Christ. He never cancels anyone. You know, I've just, like I said, I've written a book on Bible characters. They're the heroes of the faith. But the Bible kind of portrays them warts and all. It doesn't cover them up. It doesn't cancel them. It says these are what they're like. So I would encourage anyone just to take their brokenness and their mess to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has been so kind and says to everyone, isn't he, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest.
Amen. Amen. You mentioned a book, People Just Like Us. Where is that book available?
It's published by Day One. I've been sent my complimentary copies in the last few days, so I imagine it's out or about to come out in the next few days. So, yeah, definitely. I think it's my eighth or ninth book I've written, and it's the one that I love the most.
Oh, very good. I didn't expect to talk about it today, but it sounds really good. And just a short summary again of that particular book.
Yeah, I mean, that book really, I mean, I think James chapter 5 verse 17 says, describing Elijah, he was a man just like us.
Yes.
So for me, the Bible isn't a book of philosophy and musings. It's a book of history and geography. The things that the Bible talks about happened in time and space, places on the map, real people. What were these people like? Were they superheroes? Of course they were. They were people just like me and you.
Amen.
And so they might have lived thousands of years ago. They might have lived thousands of miles away. But in essence, they were just like me and you. And so we can learn from them. Some of them serve as warning. Some of them serve as encouragement. So yeah, it's a book on 15 characters, and it's called People Just Like Us.
Oh, it's beautiful. Well, thank you very much, Alan Ebenezer from Wales. May God bless you and cause his grace to shine upon you and make these books successful as well. Thanks for joining us today.
A pleasure. Nice to speak to you.
Yep, here too. Monday will mark Columbus Day, a day traditionally of parades and national commemoration of the explorers' discovery of the Americas, which so many now call home. But Columbus Day is a day of infamy for many who view the explorers' landing in the Bahamas as a tyrannical assault against the Indian tribes, even one of genocide. But is that true? Today, Jerry Wiss considers some of the historical facts surrounding Christopher Columbus's discovery of the New World. Jerry is a frequent contributor to Holding All Things Together and is a writer for Christian Renewal magazine.
Monday will be Columbus Day. October 12th marks the day that Columbus and his crew first sighted land and rowed ashore onto one of the islands in the Bahamas, thought to be San Salvador. Traditionally, Columbus Day in the U.S. has been marked by parades and even a day off from school and, for many, work. Monuments in many towns and cities of the explorer had gone up, commemorating the discovery of the New World, which for us had become home. But political correctness and now woke politics have tried to smear the sheen of this celebration. Columbus Day parades are now usually accompanied by protests. The day is no longer considered a national holiday, and monuments of the explorer have routinely been defaced and vandalized. Why? Columbus is viewed by the woke agenda propagandizers as a tyrant and displacer of the Indian tribes that occupied America, a purveyor of genocide, even though the record shows no such thing. Although his crew members were aggressive with the Indian tribes, he commanded that they not rape or pillage the New World inhabitants, and had executed those under his command who had committed these crimes. The reduction of the Indian tribe population in the Americas over the years since Columbus's landing was largely due not to genocide or even war, as much as the lack of immunity to diseases brought over from Europe, certainly not intentionally, by explorers and settlers. That speaks more to an act of God than it does to a purposefully malicious act of man. Moreover, although Columbus sought a passageway to trade with the Indies, he was a Christian convinced of the necessity to spread the gospel throughout the world. He wrote in his personal papers, quote, "It was the Lord who put into my mind the fact that it would be possible to sail from here to the Indies. It is simply the fulfillment of what Isaiah prophesied," end quote. The passage of scripture Columbus had in mind, according to his own papers, was from Isaiah 49. "Listen to me, O coastlands, and hearken, you people from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother, to be named my name. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." This, of course, points to the Lord Jesus Christ and the spread of the good news, the gospel of grace, although Columbus personalized it to refer to himself as a principal actor. Christopher literally means Christ-bearer. Aside from forbidding his men from raping and plundering the Indians, Columbus adopted the son of an Indian chief. We sometimes forget that the history of the world is to a large extent the history of war and conquest. Invaded territories, for whatever reason, and often for reasons more malign than those of Columbus's, would be occupied by the victorious invaders. This was true of Rome, and later those who invaded Rome, as it was for the Mongols that invaded modern-day Russia, extending their reach even into Europe, and for the European nations themselves, England and France, for example. That should come as no surprise. The Christian West, a superior force, made peace with the tribes where it could, but also defended themselves where they had to. The notion that the Indian tribes were innocent of like wars, and even of slavery to which they also were subjected, is a myth arising from the notion of the so-called noble savage, as later circulated by Jean-Jacques Rousseau. But the Indians were not innocent. Tribes continually warred for land and resources, raping and pillaging as they did, and made slaves of prisoners from other tribes they defeated. Columbus opened the way for Europe to settle and build a civilization in the New World. Not a perfect one, but one that enshrined the Christian faith as its centerpiece. That's something worth commemorating.
Time once again for This Week in History. October 6th, 1847. Currer Bell has a novel published by Smith, Elder & Company. Currer is one of six children in a family in Hawthorne, County Durham, England. Thinking women are judged less harshly for their writings, Currer Bell is a pseudonym used by Charlotte Bronte. The title of the novel is Jane Eyre. October 7th, 1913. Understanding that the cost of an automobile puts it out of reach for the average citizen, Henry Ford begins producing his Model T on an assembly line in Highland Park, Michigan. It cuts the man hours to build a car from 12 and a half to only 6. It will allow Ford to reduce the cost of the Model T from $850 to $360 by 1916. October 9th. He saved at least 1,200 Jews from the gas chambers during World War II while running an enamel works factory in Krakow, Poland. German businessman Oskar Schindler, declared a righteous Gentile in 1962 by Israel's Agency for Remembering the Holocaust, dies this day in 1974. And October 10th, 1845. Opening as the Naval School and renamed in 1850, the U.S. Naval Academy opens this day in Annapolis, Maryland. Plebes they enter, and as midshipmen they train aboard ships in the summer to this day, before throwing their hats into the air at the Navy Marine Corps Stadium upon graduation. Ship assignments are based on class rank, as the highest scoring midshipman declares his choice of ship to serve on first. That was This Week in History, events as man recorded them, as God ordained them.
That's our program for this week. Thanks for joining us. Holding All Things Together is a production of Redeemer Broadcasting, and the views expressed are those of the participants. If you'd like to support us and help on production and distribution expenses, you may visit our website and give in a secure fashion online. We're found at RedeemerBroadcasting.org. For Holding All Things Together, I'm Dan Elmendorf.
And I'm Calvin Carter.
God willing, see you next week.